From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Coast to coast on 150 fantastic radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. It's Jeff Stein coming to you from the free state of Iowa, filling in for Todd today. Now, if you've listened to the show this week, you might have been able to detect that Todd's been battling a bit of a bug, and the best way to fix that is just to take a day and rest up, and that's what he's doing. I'm on the other side of it. I'm still not perfect, as you can tell, so I apologize in advance for this cold and cough that I've been dealing with. And no, I did not give it to Todd. We're in two different states, so don't blame me for that. Everybody blames me for giving them my cold. And in some cases, like at home, it's true. But let's move on to what's most important, and that is that we are in the Liberty University studio today, and so much great news to talk about, so many great guests on the list. And I'd love to hear your reaction to all of it at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, return guest to the program, Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th District of Kansas will join us to talk about things in Congress, including, we ever going to get that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act extended? It's among the many topics we'll talk about when Congressman Estes joins us, and that's at the bottom of the hour. What a great way to wake up today. What a great way to fire up the radio, fire up the TV, and see American law enforcement doing what it does best, namely apprehending the worst of the bad guys without them even knowing it. An overnight raid in Virginia, taking down one of the top three leaders of MS-13 on the East Coast. Top leader on the East Coast, one of the top three nationally. And the thing that is fantastic about this is the fact that today is March 27th, a Thursday, as I'm speaking to you live. That means Mr. Trump has been in office, what, 2 months? And they've been able to put together this elite team to go get bad guys like this and to be successful at it in such a short period of time. And I have some thoughts on it that I'll give you in just a few moments, but let's hear a little bit of sound from what many of us saw on TV or heard on the radio earlier this morning. Dylan, it's cut number one.
First reaction is all of our law enforcement officers are safe. That was the number one thing. They're safe. They executed a clean, safe operation and the bad guys in custody. And thanks to the FBI, we got one of the worst of MS-13 off the streets this morning.
We were able to be out here in force to show the American people to be here in person that this means a lot to her and the mission. Safety is our primary concern of these communities, and we effectuated that today.
That's Attorney General Pam Bondi, FBI Director Kash Patel, part of those who spoke at the news conference. Happiest guy that I saw was Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who was able to say, these folks worked with our state officials and got bad guys out of our neighborhoods. And again, it's not like they were in some inner city alley. They were in a pretty nice suburban area. These folks lived pretty well. And the fact that they are living among us, that's one of the important things to understand. So many of us in the heartland or in suburbia think, well, those are the gangs. That's big city. It won't happen here. Where do you think they're going to hide out? And this is proof of that. More than 300 MS-13 taken into custody since this special task force was mustered up about a month ago. Working together, state and federal authorities, to get the worst of the worst out of here so that Americans can feel safe again. Now, what this tells me is that this could have been done all along because of the fact that you don't just get your elite team together in a month and get the state and federal folks to work together and you're starting from scratch. These people in law enforcement have been there. They have been trained. They have been ready to go, chomping at the bit to do what they love to do, which is help keep all of us safe. But they've been not allowed to do it during the Joe Biden administration. That's what we're going to officially call it, the Joe Biden administration, until we learn who really was controlling the auto pen. But the point is, you've got folks who have trained, taken an oath, and risked their lives as part of law enforcement, and they're now getting to do their jobs. They're now getting to do what they've been trained to do, to again help keep all of us safe. If you're the governor of a state, no wonder Youngkin was happy today to have this kind of rot eliminated so that his citizens don't have to deal with it. And again, he's term limited and he's not running for re-election. This is not a political statement at all. One of the things that I find interesting as well is it's Virginia. And a lot of the swamp monsters in the District of Columbia live in Virginia or Maryland, right? It's right there. And so it's this close to where they all live. And nothing impacts D.C. swamp monsters or gets them to do things more than when their own backyard is being infiltrated or when things are creeping into affect them. Then all of a sudden they pay attention to things, you see. Stuff can happen to those of us in the heartland of America, in the rural areas. They don't care. But it's their backyard, now they care. And so therefore probably also not an accident that this high-profile target was made and that they focused on Virginia. Because again, look at the proximity to Washington, D.C. It just makes you feel good to see this kind of thing happen. A plan executed flawlessly, safely, not just for the officers involved, but also members of the community. There are folks who talk about they voted for this or that or something else. So yes, this right here is what I voted for. Cleaning up the streets, making neighborhoods safe, getting rid of these gangs. Similarly, we have a whole bunch of bad people sitting in cells in El Salvador. And again, the MS-13 leader was from El Salvador, so perhaps we could look forward to a homecoming for that bad hombre. But the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Kristi Noem, took another road trip. And that's something else, by the way, about the Trump 47 administration. When was the last time, and I'm even including the first Trump administration, when was the last time you saw cabinet-level officials outside of Washington doing things? You have the Attorney General and the FBI Director right there as this raid goes down last night. You see the Homeland Security Secretary. She's been out on various raids, then goes to El Salvador so that she can look to a camera and say, see these guys behind me? This is what we're doing, cleaning up America. And let this be a signal to the rest of the world. If you want to come here illegally, this is where you're going to wind up. And we got plenty of room in this cage for you, too. Let's listen to Secretary Noem. It's cut number two.
Here at CCOT today and visiting this facility. And first of all, I want to thank El Salvador and their president for their partnership with the United States of America to bring our terrorists here and to incarcerate them and have consequences for the violence that they have perpetuated in our communities. I also want everybody to know, if you come to our country illegally, this is one of the consequences you could face. First of all, do not come to our country illegally. You will be removed and you will be prosecuted. But know that this facility is one of the tools in our toolkit that we will use if you commit crimes against the American people.
When I, in a past life, was a practicing attorney, I'm still licensed. I can sue any of you anytime. But back when I was doing it full time, as opposed to being back in radio, one of the things that always impressed me when we would bring a criminal client in before a judge is that the judge would talk about room in prisons. And often a judge, a few in particular that I can think of, if they granted probation to a criminal defendant, maybe it was a first offense, a youthful offender, whatever, they would say, I could send you to prison, but I'm going to put you on probation, let you live in the community according to these standards of conduct that you have to follow, etc. But understand, there is always a bed available for you in a jail or prison. Let that hang over your head as you think about atoning for the criminal activity that you committed. There's always a bed in a cell with your name on it. That's a perfect deterrence, is it not? One of the things when we hear about overcrowded jails in this country, and we wonder why crime goes up, well, it's because we've just told everyone nobody's going to jail or prison because there's no room. There was one time, it was 20-some years ago, of course, but a judge said to a client of mine in court, I should send you to prison, but they're so overcrowded, I'm afraid that the person they'll let out to make room for you is worse. So this is your lucky day. What are you going to do about it? Because again, the deterrence is there's always a bed in a cell with your name on it. You see the Secretary of Homeland Security with all of those bad hombres in the background as if they were extras in some sort of documentary. That's the signal to send to the rest of the world. I know we have all manner of issues with these orders being challenged in court, but you cannot unsee that image. You cannot unsee 300 and some, 324 maybe, MS-13 folks who've been taken down, including today, early this morning, the East Coast leader. When you have perp walks, you have video of all this, etc., that gets out. The word gets out. This is no longer a safe place for illegals to be. You want to come here illegally, this is what could happen to you too. That's the deterrence that is necessary. That is how you save your country. 901-260-5926 from the Liberty University studio. We'll get your calls in reaction after this short break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starn Show.
Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. U.S. Congressman Ron Estes from Kansas joins us just after the bottom of the hour. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. I have sat in this chair behind this microphone and talked to you before about a variety of great causes, and I'm so pleased that I was able to have this chance to personally join Todd and ask you to help the folks at Food for the Poor. Now, at the beginning of this month, you may recall that Todd suggested that this was a perfect time, as you are able, to not only open your heart but also your wallet to help our friends at the Christian nonprofit international relief organization Food for the Poor. Now, just 2 days left in this effort, and you've already generated thousands of dollars to help fill the bellies of boys and girls who, through no fault of their own, were born into extreme poverty. Throughout Latin America, but especially in El Salvador, and we spent a lot of time in the last segment talking about the bad guys in El Salvador, but in that country, for the common ordinary person, skyrocketing food prices, limited job opportunities, it's just crushing families. Salvadoran children under 5 years of age face hunger, and get this, an anemia rate of 25%. No kid deserves that. The only opportunity they have for a healthy life is through the lunches they get at school. Now, this is where we come in, you and I. Paul Jacobs is one of the spokesmen of Food for the Poor, and he assures us any donation you give, any size, will be carefully and efficiently used to help the poorest of the poor in this hemisphere.
Working with Food for the Poor means that you're working with a network of pastors and local ministries, partners that are vetted on the ground in El Salvador, that are making sure that they are doing the work. There's no government involvement in El Salvador that is going to basically get in the way of your compassionate giving and those children that are in need.
That is so important right there. No government with their hand in the till skimming off from the top. All right, go to toddstarns.com. When you do, you should make that a regular place to visit. But there's a banner, as we call it, at the top of toddstarns.com. It says Feed Their Future. So click on that, and that's where you'll see Todd's message of hope for you. Now, these are not tax dollars from Washington. It's 100% voluntary. But it's your opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus helping hungry boys and girls who were born into abject poverty. A $100 one-time gift provides life-altering nutrition for an entire year for one child. $200 offers the same blessing for two children for the next 12 months. And this project supports hundreds of farmers and food producers, strengthening local food production so families can stay in their native El Salvador rather than migrating here to the U.S. They'd love to live in their home country. This is how we can help make it possible so they can be healthy and do that. Please go to toddstarns.com, click on the Feed Their Future banner at the top of the homepage, or you can phone your generous gift, and I'll give you the number twice now. It's 855-353-4673. Again, the phone number is 855-353-4673. Now, if you're in the car or you're not online, just at some point text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555. Text Todd to 51555, and in response, you'll get a link that you can click on and join the Todd Starnes campaign for Feed Their Future. However you reach out, please do join us as men and women just like you all over America step up to help our friends at the Christian nonprofit international relief organization Food for the Poor. And it all starts by clicking on that banner ad right there at toddstarns.com. And you'll feel better for it, and you're doing such good work by supporting this great effort. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this conversation in the Liberty University studio. After this bottom of the hour break, though, we'll talk with Kansas Congressman Ron Estes, and we'll take your calls on the other side of that as we roll on a Thursday. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks so much for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/starns. That's angel.com/starns to join the Angel Guild now.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Todd will check in with us, though, via phone at the bottom of the next hour, about 1 hour from now. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the conversation and let us know what you think about any of the topics that are in the news. I felt great seeing this news conference this morning with complete transparency about taking down one of the bad guys, one of the top bad guys in MS-13. It was a great way, I felt, to start the day. And I had seen something, and I'm sure that I'm remembering it correctly. You know, the FBI has a top 10 list, right? The top 10 most wanted. That was a big thing that J. Edgar Hoover did decades ago to try to stimulate interest in law enforcement. The Kash Patel-led FBI has already apprehended 3 of the 10. Like 2 months since Trump's in office, less than that Patel's been in charge of FBI, 3 out of the 10 of the top 10 most wanted have already been apprehended. That suggests to me you just need to have the right people in charge. People of the 4th District of Kansas have put the right person in charge of their district. He's Congressman Ron Estes, and he joins us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Good to talk to you again, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you for taking time from the busy work in Washington. I know that people understand across the country, whether it's my home state of Iowa, yours of Kansas, that without some sort of action, our taxes are going to go way up next year. So where are we at on getting something done so that doesn't happen?
Yeah, you're right. Everybody will see a tax increase. Roughly 95% of the people will see a tax increase next year. So we're going through a two-step process in Washington right now in order to help get it through the House and the Senate. And the first step is getting a budget resolution passed by both the House and the Senate. And this week, it sounds like the Senate's now agreed to schedule a vote next week on their form of the budget resolution. We passed ours out of the House, and we're continuing to move forward. And then the next step will be is how do we make sure that we don't have that 22% tax increase that's going to happen for the average American across the country. So we're working on it. I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, which obviously is our tax writing committee here in the House, and we're focusing on how do we make sure that we keep all those good provisions that came out of 2017 and were so beneficial for Americans and for more jobs, created more jobs, increased salaries, reduced taxes for businesses and individuals. And it, for the most part, helped middle and lower income folks, both from a lower tax as well as higher income. So it's important that we get our work done, and the quicker we get it done, the better. We've been really focusing on trying to get it done in the next few months so that people can start making decisions and plan ahead for 2026 and be prepared.
That is one of the things with regard to planning as a business. You need certainty with regard to rules and regulations, and obviously the rate of taxation is one of the chief among those that we care about. And this is going to sound like a flip question, and I don't mean it to be, but Why can there not simply be a one-sentence bill that says the expiration date of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 is hereby extended for 10 years or 20 years or something? Why is it more complicated than that? I understand everybody wants to get their hand in and make things better, but could we not just extend and then improve?
You know, part of the dynamic here really is around the rules in the Senate regarding the filibuster. And to pass a bill that affects policy on the Senate side, you typically need 60 votes. And the one exception to that is if you're doing a budget reconciliation process, when you have, in this case, a majority Republicans in the House and Republicans in the Senate and a Republican in the White House, we can craft a bill that addresses spending or taxes and do it with just 51 votes in the Senate. So that's why it gets much more complicated to talk through that, because there's some certain rules over in the Senate that address that It certainly has to make sure that it addresses only spending and or tax provisions and working through that. So it makes it a little bit more complicated than just a simple extension.
And again, you get one good shot at it, right? Because of those rules in the Senate, you can't just go back multiple times. It's not as easy to do. Are you feeling there's good momentum? I mean, I sense some optimism from you, but I'm just wondering if you're really feeling that this is going to get across the finish line early enough in the process so that, again, the businesses in your district in Kansas can plan for the next fiscal year.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel much more optimistic. This week in particular, the discussions between Senate leadership and House leadership and the White House have really reached a good strong threshold, and the Senator Thune announced that he's going to actually move a vote next week on the first step in the process, and that's what we have to have passed. The House has already done its work on that budget resolution. The Senate has to pass one there, and then we have to reconcile if there's any differences between the two. And then we actually focus on all the provisions that we want to address, which includes providing more funding for border security and national defense. It includes how do we save some money with all of our spending that's out there across the entire federal government. So we've got some of those provisions in the bill. And then all the tax provisions to making sure that Americans get to keep their money in their pocket that they've had since 2017. And not get taken out of their pocket into the future.
Congressman Ron Estes joining us. He represents the 4th District of Kansas. He's joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Everybody talks about controlling spending, and then when you start getting specific, well, obviously nobody wants their stuff to be cut. That's what makes this kind of difficult, doesn't it?
It really does, and as you work through some of these different issues, there's lots of dynamics, lots of different directions, and part of it's just over decades of looking at one particular provision or a different particular provision, and it makes it much more complicated than it needed to be, and we need to have a philosophy that we want to implement a tax program going forward that's pro-economic growth and pro-family, and looking at what kind of good provisions you can put in there. And as part of that, how do we look at not doing so many things that subsidize or make larger government spending programs, but addresses some of those issues that are some common sense, some of the things that we're already seeing with the work that President Trump and his DOGE team's doing, working on good America First policies.
Obviously, folks, in the heartland, your state, my state, we care a lot about agriculture. It's what keeps us afloat, and it's what feeds the world. And we're 2 years behind in a five-year farm bill, and that's really having a fallout across the farm belt. Do we have any sense of whether this is going to get moved before the August recess? I was told, by the way, by one of your colleagues, was Congressman Randy Feenstra from Iowa's 4th District in January, that they hoped maybe they could get something done by the end of July. And I thought, oh, That's not as optimistic as I had hoped. What are you hearing about a farm bill, which, again, the majority of which is not for farmers, it's for food distribution?
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. It's called the farm bill, but it probably should be called the farm and food stamp bill, since 80% or more goes into food stamp provisions. Excuse me. I am confident that we'll pass a farm bill this year. The problem over the last couple of years got caught up in the politics, and I was severely disappointed after the election last year. I expected that the Democrat majority in the Senate would actually make a decision in the lame duck session to move the farm bill forward, and unfortunately that didn't happen. And now that there's Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate, it'll be easier to do. However, there has to be some accounting, particularly on the Senate side, for Democrats because of the filibuster process they have over there. But there's been a lot of hard work done. Chairman V.T. Thompson over here on the House and the Agriculture Committees has done a lot of work in looking at those provisions and looking at how do we move forward. And so we just need to get it done so that it's authorized for the next 5 years and then move forward.
Exit question for Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas on the Todd Starnes Show. The first half hour I spent just marveling at this new administration, this new Department of Justice, new FBI, working with state officials, taking down MS-13 bad guys. I mean, what's your reaction when you see what happened in the news conference this morning and you see all of the other activity going on as opposed to the inactivity or perhaps malfeasance of the past?
Yeah, it really is a difference. And it's a breath of fresh air that you have an administration that comes in and really, puts America first through so many of the policies, so many of the programs they're working on. I kind of use the analogy that we're running 90 miles an hour as we're trying to work through these things. And a lot of these things that have been built up over decades have been allowed to grow. The government has bloated in so many ways. And in some cases, it got to where their mindset of, well, we have some money, so let's just go spend it here, go spend it there, even if that didn't make sense, but because they had the money. And so there's a fresh set of eyes that are coming in that are actively looking at how do we make this government more efficient? How do we address this deficit issue that we have? We can't continue borrowing one out of every $5 that's spent. And we're doing that just to fund today's lifestyle, and we're mortgaging our kids and grandkids' future by borrowing all this money just to spend today. And we've got to be smarter. We've got to be better at more fiscally responsible.
That's the common sense approach we elected. And keep up the good work so we can get to that goal across the finish line, Congressman. Appreciate your time today.
All right, great. Thank you, Jeff.
Congressman Ron Estes joining us. He is Congressman from the 4th District of Kansas, and he did join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 901-260-5926. That's how you can connect with us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. We will hear from Todd in about 45 minutes on the program. Your calls and much more after this short break. He takes his deep breath and looks forward to his next cough drop. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Starnes, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStarnes.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at toddstearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, 901-260-5926. It's a double shot of TS next hour. Todd Starnes joins us at the bottom of the next hour. And T.S. Dixon, an author and political commentator, will talk to us just after the top of the hour on his new book called The Woke Mind Viruses. And that's plural. He'll explain. That is in our next hour. Your calls in and around all of it, as always, at 901-260-5926. Now, at the start of the program, I apologize for the fact that I'm just getting over this cold. And I think Todd is the same sort of situation I do. We speak for a living. And so what do we need in order to speak for a living? A good, robust voice. So where does every illness hit the strongest and stay around the longest? It's in the throat, it's in the voice, and that's why I don't sound like I normally do today. Perhaps you find that to be an improvement. I don't know. But I noticed that you get this certain brand of, I call them cough drops. They've got some other little component in it, whatever. I'm not going to give you the name because they didn't pay me to say it, and God knows after all the money that I have given them during this illness for their cough drops, you know, a little something for the effort back here wouldn't be bad. But they put motivational sayings on the wrappers, right? You take the cough drop out of the bag, they're individually wrapped, and you look and they've got these cute little sayings. And they're very cute when you start, you know, when you're first sick and you're not feeling well, and, oh, look, the cough drop is telling me to get back in the game. The cough drop is telling me to fire up my engines. Oh, that's great. By about day 5 or 6, it's just annoying. You know, it's sort of like they're mocking me. In fact, I pulled out a cough drop. And right in the center, they have multiple messages, but the one that's right in the center says, "The show must go on or work." Well, my work is a show. Again, the cough drop people are mocking me. I'm just telling you. It's not as cute by day 5. You know, it's kind of like if you're in the hospital, and I'm blessed to have not had to deal with that very much in my life, but, you know, sometimes the cheeriest nurse on the floor is not the person you want to see. I'm just throwing that out there. Interesting comments from Congressman Ron Estes in our last segment. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. And this is something we did not get into because I understand the legislative process and the horse trading and all this. The fact that all of these bills have sunset provisions is just maddening. And if you are the owner of a small business, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's great that we had this wonderful Tax Cut and Jobs Act that stimulated the economy in such a tremendous way. But it had a sunset provision. An expiration. If you're going to reform taxes, if you're going to enact tax policy changes, they're only good for a few years, 5 years, whatever, and then we've got to go back and renew them again. That cripples the economy. More than anything else, it's the uncertainty of what the government will do to you, not for you. And this is why, as the congressman said, the sooner they can get this bill, the extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 across the finish line, you're going to see money free up. If you think money's freeing up now for the economy and infrastructure investment, et cetera, And it is. But if you think that's flowing in now, you just wait until there's certainty about tax policy. And it's the same way for any of us at home. If you're thinking about some sort of a home improvement project, or maybe you're going to buy a new vehicle, or whatever it might happen to be, in the back of your mind, you're wondering, should we make that expense this year? Because what if the tax rates revert to the old provisions? The standard deduction on taxes goes way back down as opposed to what it has been. That's why your taxes will go way up if something isn't done. That's why the last election was so important, to at least put a Congress in play that would be favorably disposed to doing it. But now they got to get the work done. But you're going to be freer with your money once you have this certainty. So let's not forget Tax Cuts and Jobs Act when you talk to your member of Congress. You might want to do it right now during this break. Hour number one is done. Two more to go. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on a Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starn.
Satsas, that's right, I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number two of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Todd will actually check in with us in about 30 minutes on the program to offer his insight on some of the day's news. I'm coming to you from the free state of Iowa, my home base at Todd Starn's affiliate, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. 901-260-5926, that's how you can join this conversation from the Liberty University studio. Cassie is taking care of your calls, and she'll put you in the queue, and we'll take your calls in the next segment. But now we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and Dylan will connect us with our guest. He is T.S. Dixon. Mr. Dixon is the author of a new book entitled The Woke Mind Viruses. That's plural. The Woke Mind Viruses. You can learn about the book, more about him at tsdixon.com. Mr. Dixon, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for taking time, sir.
Jeff, great to speak with you again. Glad to be here.
You and I spoke on my local program in Iowa earlier this month, and when they asked me to sit behind Todd's microphone today, I wanted you to come on because I found the premise of the book very interesting, and it's something that I think the national audience will appreciate as well. But first, give us a sense of your background that led you to put together a book entitled The Woke Mind Viruses.
Yeah, well, I have been a conservative, active, politically conservative for over 20 years. I'm a corporate executive, and I was watching, my wife and I were watching just the more extreme evolution of the left in the United States and around the world as they were just getting more and more intense in their tactics and political
persecution, oppression of conservatives, Republicans, and then ultimately just seeing the 2020 election tampering, and then seeing what they did with bringing Trump up on false charges, weaponizing the FBI and the courts, and, you know, and then ultimately trying to assassinate him by removing protection. We just knew we needed to get more involved, and so my wife became pregnant with our first son, and that pushed me over the edge. I had to do more. And I'd been researching and putting this story together because I was so curious about where the other side of the political spectrum, where they come from, what they really believe, because there's so much hearsay, there's so much misdirection. They're really sort of cloaked in secrecy about what they're truly all about. And so I've been studying them for a long time, and I finally put that story together, and it's a story I had to get out and out to the conservative movement and educate, you know, our people.
The woke mind viruses, the mind plagues destroying Western civilization and how to stop them. That's the full name for the book. And you've identified, Mr. Dixon, four of these viruses or diseases: wokeism, liberalism, leftism, globalism. They're each different, but there are some interconnected points. Give us your definition of each, if you would. Let's just start with wokeism.
Yeah, so wokeism, you can simply understand them. They're all branches from the same tree trunk of Marxism from the 1800s. And so wokeism is a reformed version of Marxism that was developed in Germany in the 1930s at what they call a think tank. They call the Frankfurt School. And it is called cultural Marxism, which promotes an idea known as critical theory. And this idea is that you, in the West, you know, communism didn't work because you need rich versus poor class warfare, and then the poor rise up, create a revolution, and sweep the communists into power. That's Communist Manifesto from Karl Marx. That's his strategy. It failed here. It failed in Western Europe. And so they came up with a new kind of Marxism, where instead of rich versus poor attack vector, you attack on the points of culture. So women versus men is a new proletariat versus bourgeoisie, minority groups like blacks against white majorities, homosexuals and transgendered as the oppressed group against straight people and males and female. They call them gender normative people. And so that's what wokeism is. It's cultural Marxism promoting critical theory.
Liberalism, that was defined one way in the past, but it's a very different sort of thing today, is it not?
Well, they promote this idea, this pop culture nomenclature, that there was this, you know, classical liberalism, and that it's cool to be liberal, it's hip, it's intelligent, it's classy to be liberal, right? You're open-minded, you're forward-thinking. But I believe that this was really a machination of the 1950s and 60s, where they were trying to get more moderates and independents to join their movement. And so this was sort of the tactic they used psychologically. But really, liberalism was never a defined movement before the, you know, early 1900s. It was just a term. It was used in political sense. You know, if you were liberal with spending and money, you know, you were liberal. If you saved your money and wanted lower spending, you were conservative. And so it was used as an adjective. But it became it took on a different meaning when it became a political movement in 1932 under FDR, when he officially at the Democratic National Convention, you know, bequeathed his movement's ideology as liberalism. And he changed the name from liberal, which meant liberty or being generous, to liberate. The liberal for them means to liberate, which is the story of these white saviors that are coming in to save people groups, like save the poor from the rich, save the blacks from the whites, save the gays from the straight, save the women from the men. And so that's the new nomenclature, save the earth, you know, from carbon dioxide and human beings. And so that's the new nomenclature. And really all it is Marxism adapted and contextualized for a Western audience. That's really what liberalism is at the end of the day.
The Woke Mind Viruses is the book by T.S. Dixon. And he is exposing these four leftist ideological sicknesses. The third of the four is leftism. And again, all these definitions change at one time or another to be more acceptable. But leftism is, oh my goodness, so far further left than it ever was. Am I correct, Mr. Dixon?
It is. It's evolved over time. Leftism is probably the easiest and most straightforward to understand because they haven't cloaked themselves as much. But leftism is your traditional communists and socialists. Now, in the West, they've taken on more of a what they call reformed communism or reformed socialism. They call themselves Fabian socialists. And you have parties like the Labour Party in the UK. Some of the Democrats like Bernie Sanders and others in the United States are traditional leftists. So they're traditional Marxists, so to speak. And so they're not trying to hide it, right? They're open about their socialism. That's a traditional leftist. But they what they really believe is dark. I mean, they're godless. The heart of all leftist ideology is secular Darwinism. So they don't believe in God, and therefore they don't believe in morality. They don't believe in right and wrong. They don't believe in truth as a concept. That's why they believe in relativism, that truth changes all the time, and they get more and more extreme with the ideas they promote, like transgendering surgeries for kids or promoting homosexual pornography in school libraries. You know, they just get more in drag queen story times. So they get more and more extreme, like 9-month abortions, because they don't believe in truth. They have no anchor or point of truth. Their only goal ultimately is revolution and overthrowing capitalism in the West. That's your leftists.
And globalism, this is where we get off the rails to me in particular, Mr. Dixon, T.S. Dixon, our guest, The Woke Mind Virus is the book, because if you don't take care of your home nation first, you cannot interact with others on the world stage. And this concept of one big happy planet, I mean, I'm not even sure that makes sense in the most Pollyannish view on paper, much less in practice.
Yes, globalism is the head of the snake, as I call it. They are the leaders of the leftist coalition and the financiers. They're ultra-rich, ultra-wealthy through scams and through theft of tax money, ultimately. They have other forms of income, but they are extremely well-funded. They come from the traditional idea, like, you know, Darwin taught there was no God, and we all came out of ooze and evolved over millions of years. Then Nietzsche picked that up and said, if that's the case, there's no truth, no morality, no afterlife, no purpose to life. Therefore, the only thing there is in life is the will to power. Marx said, if all there is will to power, then here's a 10-step blueprint for how to achieve that by having a revolutionary country and taking over the nation. And then globalists took it further through Cecil Rhodes, who started the De Beers Company in South Africa in the late 1800s. And he came up with the idea of globalism, which is taking will to power and Communist Manifesto, and instead of having a revolution where you take over one country, globalism is where you have you collapse the whole world and take over all the nation states and merge them into one global empire, ruled by a small elite, a powerful few, wealthy elites. That's globalism. And it has been with us for 100 years now. It was highly promoted in the United States by John D. Rockefeller Jr., who became the spiritual head of the movement. And it has been driving foreign policy and domestic policy in the United States for the better part of 80 years. And it, now, with the Trump revolution, they're finally starting to hack away at this monstrosity. And you see things like him pulling out of the Paris Climate Treaty, reducing our participation funding of NATO, the UN. You know, these are all globalist precursors to the coming world government that they're trying to bring about. Think about, 50 states in the United States all under one powerful federal government. Well, what the globalists want is 250 nations all under one powerful global government. You know, it's an upgrade from the Union of the United States to the Union of the World, but controlled by them, and no elections, no freedom. Chinese high-tech control grid, that's what they want to bring.
Your website, tsdixon.com, lastly has this statement, and this explains why this conversation and this book are both important. It reads, "Now that Trump has won, these leftist movements are cornered and more dangerous than ever. Now it is essential that our movement be fully educated on these ideologies and how to stop them." The book, The Woke Mind Viruses, The Mind Plagues Destroying Western Civilization and How to Stop Them, the author T.S. Dixon has joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mr. Dixon, thank you so much for all the research and succinctly summarizing these viruses for us on the radio, and people can learn more in the book. I wish you continued success, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. They can pick it up on Amazon as well. Thank you very much, Jeff.
You bet. Wherever you get your good books these days, T.S. Dixon, TSDixon.com, his website, the book, The Woke Mind Viruses, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join the conversation. Todd Starnes will call in just after the bottom of the hour. More as this Thursday edition of the program continues in a moment. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. And there's only 2 days left in the annual Food for the Poor fundraising campaign as presented by the Todd Starnes program. So far, thousands of dollars. Thanks so much for that. But 2 days left to help these boys and girls throughout Latin America who, through no fault of their own, were born into extreme poverty. These kids face hunger, high anemia rates, and the only opportunity they have for a healthy life is through the lunches they get at school. Now, this is how we can help. But I know every time you hear about donating to some far-off entity or an entity that does work far off from where you are, you wonder if the money gets where it's supposed to go. Well, Paul Jacobs is one of the spokesmen of Food for the Poor, and he addresses that concern.
Working with Food for the Poor means that you're working with a network of pastors and local ministries, partners that are vetted on the ground in El Salvador, that are making sure that they are doing the work. There's no government involvement in El Salvador that is going to basically get in the way of your compassionate giving and those children that are in need.
If you go to ToddStarnes.com, and I'm looking at it right here on my computer screen in the Liberty University studio, right at the top there's a banner that says Feed Their Future. Now, this is a chance for you, if you're able, to provide generously to be the hands and feet of Jesus helping hungry boys and girls born into this abject poverty. $100 one-time gift provides life-altering nutrition for a child for an entire year. So go to ToddStarnes.com, click on that Feed Their Future banner at the very top of the main page, or you can call 855-353-4673. I'll say that again. It's 855-353-4673. Now, if you're in the car, you're not near the computer, just text the word Todd to 51555. Text Todd to 51555, and you'll get a text back with a link. And you click on that, and you can join the Todd Starnes campaign for Feed Their Future. Join all of the fine patriotic Americans who are stepping up to help friends at the Christian nonprofit international relief organization Food for the Poor. And again, right there on the main page, ToddStarnes.com. Last 2 days of the effort for this year, and heaven knows they could use your help. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our conversation from the Liberty University studio. Todd Starnes joins us just after the break. In our next hour, Indiana Congressman Marlon Stutzman will be along, and we look forward to that as well. We've talked about it already today in a variety of ways, but America is back. You feel it. You see it. It's just a sense that you have. America is back. And it's time to stand with a bank that shares your values, talking, of course, about Old Glory Bank. They support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. There's no cancel culture. There's no woke nonsense. Just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. So join the movement today at oldglorybank.com/starnes. That's oldglorybank.com/starnes, and be part of something bigger. Trust the FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. Old Glory Bank. And when you go there, you'll see pictures of folks who are involved, and you're going to say, well, I know those folks. Yeah, Starnes is involved. You should be involved, too. 901-260-5926. I'm curious as to what Todd thinks about a couple of things. And one of the things that I'm curious about what he thinks about, is something that I'm putting up as a poll question on my station's website today. My radio station, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Iowa, we have a poll question every day. And so if you go to KXEL.com, you can weigh in. It's open to anybody. Love to have you join us. My program is on the air throughout the Heartland right before Todd's. It's weekday mornings, 8 until 11 in the Central Time Zone. But the KXEL radio poll question of the day today is, should Congress appropriate money to support NPR and or PBS? I think I know how Todd feels on the topic, but I want to make sure, and we'll find out together when he joins us after this bottom of the hour break. Thanks for being along. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. It's a Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starn Show. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the host of the Todd Starn Show, the national best-selling author, Newsmax TV host, and Radio Hall of Fame member. He is Todd Starnes. Mr. Starnes, how are you, sir?
Well, Jeff, doing well and recovering over the next couple of days, so I appreciate you filling in and doing a great job on the show today.
I have already been asked if I gave you my cold, and that question came from my wife because I certainly gave it to her, so I'm just going to sleep here at the radio station tonight. But no, we haven't seen each other so that I could pass my germs along.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling better.
All right. So you are the owner of KWAM Radio in Memphis. That's a commercial radio station, as in you're a for-profit business. What kind of unfair advantages do you have as you're trying to meet payroll when out of one pocket you're having to pay your excellent staff and out of the other pocket you're paying taxes that go to a competitor?
Well, it's more than frustrating. I believe it's criminal, and that's just unacceptable. It would be like, for example, the government deciding one day to open up a Chick-fil-A restaurant or open up a chicken restaurant across the street from a Chick-fil-A. If you were the owner of that Chick-fil-A, your tax dollars would be used to pay for the operating expenses, and I just think that's appalling. My issue is not even with the content of NPR. My issue is with the fact that we have commercial radio stations and television stations that are more than capable of handling all of the content that is currently being broadcast by NPR and PBS.
The original intention of NPR for radio, PBS for television, and individual stations around the country was to provide, to your point, Todd, to provide programming not otherwise being offered. But the reality is, we now live in a very different world where I can't think of anything that isn't available somewhere through all of the new distribution models. In other words, it's an antiquated notion of why we even need those siloed frequencies and special companies or corporations that they set up.
Well, look, again, I don't believe there ever was a need for this sort of programming in the first place. And if people want to make donations and start their own television network, and a lot of the Christian groups do that, then I think the left-wing groups can do that as well. But you know, when you look at the testimony yesterday, it's becoming very clear, well, it's been very clear, that the intent of NPR and PBS is to advance a certain ideological agenda. And that's an agenda, by the way, that is opposed by well over half the country. You know, it's interesting, a couple of stats that came out yesterday. Over the past 5 years, NPR has lost 18 million listeners. That tells me that people are just not buying what they're selling. You know, the other part of that, there's an admission that 87 of the editorial board positions at NPR are controlled by Democrats. Not a single Republican is in the mix, and NPR leadership doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
So NPR has been shedding listeners. At the same time, literally during the commercial break, I got an email with a study that shows that, according to Nielsen, for radio, radio has its highest audience levels since 2022, a 13% increase in listenership year over year. So as the radio industry has more listeners, NPR has, by comparison, even fewer. And to see the CEO of NPR in her statement say, "Yes, I know I posted some things on social media in the past, but my views have evolved over the past decade, or the past half decade." And I thought to myself, that's an interesting way to say 5 years. I mean, they're trying to make it seem like she's, you know, over some long period of time, she's had an evolution. This is an evolution of mindset. First, it isn't. It's not real. But second, this is an evolution of convenience as opposed to conviction.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I hope that Congress will follow through here. Pardon me. I hope they will follow through and they will finally defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's over $530 million of our tax money going to fund this, and that money can be used somewhere else. We do not have the luxury of funding some sort of a national or state apparatus in the communications field. And again, I go back to this issue that this is something that the private sector can not only do a great job of, but we can also make it very profitable, and it doesn't cost the taxpayers a single penny. You know, yesterday we had one of our listeners call in and basically insinuate that we were taking money because we were running a public service announcement for the National Forestry Service. No, we do that. First of all, we are very happy to help promote things free of charge. The government doesn't pay us to do that, but we are required under FCC regulations to provide some public service, you know, acts to the community. And I think every radio station in the country has to do that. But Jeff, just again, think about this. You brought up something very interesting about why people are coming back to radio. And the reason I want to throw this out there, I think one of the reasons why conservatives especially are returning to their roots in radio is because this is really where the modern conservative movement was birthed. Second of all, I think the conservative cable news channels are having an authenticity problem. And I think that they've lost their way in a lot of instances, that you have people that are being paid to be conservative. And I think by and large, especially the conservatives who came up on, you know, talk radio through Rush Limbaugh, I think that that audience especially, they can pick out a phony. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are migrating back to radio, which was the roots of the conservative movement.
And again, it is the most personal of mediums because your voice coming through a radio speaker can follow me throughout the house, in the car, wherever I'm at. It is a companion in a way that television cannot be and never could be because of the nature of the medium. Todd Starnes is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Now, Mr. Starnes, you are a proud son of the South. Did you ever, in order to get a job or keep a job, try to affect your natural accent in one way or another?
Not one bit, and it never even crossed my mind to do something like that.
Well, apparently you just don't have the same mindset as Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. She is the flavor of the week for the Democrats. And Dylan, will you play the sound of what I'm talking about, please? Cut 7.
You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need. Because we in these hot-ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now.
And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot ass mess, honey. So, yes.
It is really striking that that's the same human being. One time she was trying to garner favor of voters, and now she's trying to be the next it girl, if you will. Your reaction, sir, when you hear that stark contrast played on the radio?
Well, we've talked about this all week on the program, and I think the reality is it's pretty clear that this woman is pretending to be ghetto, and she is being called out by many, many conservatives on many different platforms. You know, what's really amazing to me is how the Democrats will excuse this sort of rhetoric and this sort of behavior. Just a few moments ago, a Fox News reporter cornered Jasmine Crockett and asked if she would be apologizing. And Crockett is tripling down and saying she does not owe the governor of Texas an apology for mocking his physical disability. It is just really reprehensible. But for me, though, I just find it odd, and Crockett's not the only one who does this. There's a state lawmaker in Tennessee who earned national acclaim for doing the exact same thing. And he, very, you know, well-spoken, put-together person, and yet they get elected, and all of a sudden they want to act like they're in some sort of a hip-hop video or Tyler Perry movie. And it's very inauthentic. And but what I love about it is that, you know, if you criticize them, they accuse you of being a racist, but that's not it at all. And even many black conservatives are now rising up and saying, hey, wait a second, this is not who we are. And this is not who you are either. They should be using those platforms to espouse education and to let people know that there is a path forward. But instead, they people like Jasmine Crockett always want to be the oppressed. And there's nothing oppressive about Jasmine Crockett except her attitude.
If a Republican member of Congress had referred to, and I believe there is, I believe Senator Duckworth of Illinois uses a wheelchair to get around for convenience because of her condition, war veteran. If they would have started calling her Senator Hot Wheels, what kind of reaction do you think we would have had?
Well, that person would have been expelled from Congress, and I suspect the Republicans would have been leading the charge, which is why it's just, it puzzles me that we haven't already taken action to remove Jasmine Crockett, to expel her from the Congress. She has, and this is not some sort of an incident of being misspoken. This is a woman who has a very long track record of inflammatory rhetoric inciting violence against others and mocking people with infirmities. I say give her the heave-ho.
I find it interesting that the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, when asked about it, and by the way, have you heard any Democrat call her out for this? I believe the answer is no. But when Jeffries was asked, he said, I've not spoken to Jasmine about it yet. That's not leadership, is it, Todd?
No, it's not. And look, at the end of the day, and the argument is just let her keep talking. And that may be the case here. Maybe that is the best path forward for the Democrats and for the Republicans to let this woman become the become the spokesperson, the leader of the Democrat Party.
Well, it's a good idea. Let her keep talking, but we should let you stop talking so that you can recover and be back soon for the long haul. It is always a privilege to sit behind the microphone, not when you're under the weather, but I'm glad to be able to have this interaction on the air, Todd.
All right, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Todd Starnes, joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And again, we're all, you know, I wasn't sick all winter. And I guess I thought, you know, I better get a good old cough and cold under my belt before spring hits. I'm feeling better now and still just sound a little weak. But Todd Gaiman it today to join us again on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're always grateful for his insight, whether it's for the full 3 hours or whether it's a segment like this. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. And we'll take those calls On the other side of this break, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, but you did hear his excellent analysis on matters such as public broadcasting funding and Jasmine Crockett during the last segment. And Todd joined us, as do all guests. Even when the host is a guest, he joins on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The First Amendment under attack at all corners, but you can help protect all of your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone. No, not directly, but because of the carrier you have. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They always support freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and that's why they are a proud partner with Todd on this radio program. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. So that means you're getting the same coverage you've always had, but you're not paying some company that then funnels the money to entities on the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, instead you're supporting organizations like the Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, First Liberty, and many more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, that's 100% U.S.-based, thank you very much. They make switching so easy. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs and not their quotas. So just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. By the way, free activation, my favorite four-letter word, free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today. It's patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or 972-PATRIOT. 901-260-5926, that is the number to call. Cassie will take your call and put you in the rotation, and we have plenty of time for calls just after the top of the hour. Thanks to Dylan for being at the controls of the mighty Wurlitzer today, pushing the buttons, keeping us on the air, and of course Ben Dieter helping schedule these guests and putting together the program, so all I have to do is come in here and just kind of open my mouth and see what comes out. Bottom of the next hour, we will speak live with Indiana Congressman Marlon Stutzman, and we're going to talk about some of the issues concerning judges. And it's something that's interesting about this, and I'm going to raise it with Congressman Stutzman in the next hour. Earlier today on my radio program in Iowa, I spoke with former Congressman Louis Gohmert, who I'm sure you're quite familiar with, and Congressman Gohmert was a Texas judge as well. So he's been on all sides of this particular issue. And he points out quite accurately that impeachment does not have to be for high crimes and misdemeanors. It just has to be for not doing the job. It's a different standard, according to Article 3. Not Article 2, Article 3. And Speaker Johnson pointed out quite accurately that the only courts established in the Constitution, the Supreme Court. It provides, the Constitution does, that the Congress shall establish other inferior courts, as in inferior to the Supreme Court, as Congress may deem appropriate. So when Speaker Johnson says, you know, we're the ones who establish courts, it's not a threat. It's in the Constitution. They're the ones who approve the judges. There's not an automatic that they get to keep these jobs if they're not doing the jobs correctly. Now, you may say, well, should Congress get involved every time there's a ruling that they don't like? Not necessarily. But the cases are supposed to be assigned on a rotating or random basis to judges. Why is it, friends, that the same judges wind up handling every single case where the Trump administration is involved? That's not a coincidence, friends. And when they don't play by the rules, then it's time to take action. We'll learn more about that in the next hour. All right, two down, one to go. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. So appreciative that you're along on this edition of the Todd Starn Show.
live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on 150 patriotic radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from my home base in the free state of Iowa at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd is taking care of whatever bug is affecting all of us these days. He joined us in the last hour, though. And if you missed that, a little later on today, just go to the Toddcast podcast at ToddStarnes.com, and you can hear Todd's comments today about Congresswoman Crockett and funding public broadcasting and whatever else was on our minds when he joined us in the last hour. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Indiana Congressman Marlon Stutzman joins us. He represents the 3rd District of Indiana, and we're going to talk about these judges and what Congress can do about it, because the judiciary has done a really poor job about being fair and impartial on things. In fact, the Constitution provides for this sort of check and balance. We'll see if there's a serious move in Congress to back that up when we talk with Congressman Marlon Stutzman. That is at the bottom of the hour. Your calls in and around all of it. Join us here in the Liberty University studio, 901-260-5926. I want to share this story with you folks because I think it is indicative of how shallow and out of step Democrats are in this country today. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota was the failed running mate of Kamala Harris in their failed effort to win the presidency this past November. For whatever reason, he seems to think that by losing the election, he now is one of the top candidates on the national stage to represent his party, that he's one of the individuals that the party might look to run for president in 4 years. It's kind of the delusion of grandeur. It's sort of like once you get caught up in all the trappings, you think, well, you know, why not me? I was this close. No, you actually weren't close at all when you look at the popular vote. But in any case, Governor Walz decided that he was going to travel the country to various congressional districts. Now, keep in mind, and this was such a bonehead play, somehow an email advised members of Congress, and this is from, I don't know if it was the House and Senate campaign committees, the RNC, somebody said, hey, don't have town meetings because these purple-haired Democrats infiltrate them and it makes us look bad. So avoid those confrontations, just don't have town hall meetings. That's never a good answer, and certainly not something you would put in an email that can be obtained like that. I can tell you my U.S. Senator, Charles Grassley, 91 and a half years old, hasn't shied away. I think he did 6 town halls last week, and in one, there were so many people there on all sides of the political spectrum, they actually out-distanced the room. And they had to hold 2 separate town meetings. Basically, he did back-to-back town meetings in the same location to get everybody in. And not everybody was friendly by any stretch. But if a 91-year-old U.S. senator, 3rd in line to the presidency, can stand there with a handheld microphone and answer every question in the room, then I think everybody can. But I digress. So there are some members of Congress who were not holding town hall meetings during the spring break week last week. And so Tampon Tim decided it was time to come in and fill the gap. His first of these jazz hands, arm-waving town halls was in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. All he had to do was get on Interstate 35 in the Twin Cities, drive south to Des Moines, boom, there you go, he's in the district. Now, this was a district that flipped red in the 2022 election. Flipped red in 2022. It was targeted by Democrats. They lost by an even bigger margin in 2024. But obviously, they look at it with the Des Moines, big city, blue county metro base and think this is still something we can get. So Tim Walz came to Iowa and laid into Congressman Zach Nunn, who has been on this program before. I've talked to him. I think Todd has. I've heard other guest hosts talk to him. Why doesn't Zach Nunn have any town hall events this week? In fact, he doesn't have anything on his public calendar this week. That's a terrible dereliction. He's ducking. He's hiding. And Governor Tampon Jazz Hands just went on as he is wont to do and tried to make hay out of the fact that Congressman Nunn was not holding town halls in his district that week. Well, it's true. Congressman Nunn was not holding town halls in his district that week because Congressman Nunn is a full bird colonel in the National Guard Reserve, and he was spending the entire week in guard service, like he has to do in order to maintain readiness to defend our nation. I will always give slack to someone who signs their name on the enlistment document and holds their right hand in the air and takes the oath to join the military and support defending this nation. I didn't do it, and I have the utmost respect for everyone who does, and that includes Tim Walz. But as you may recall, how he ended his guard service is at least worthy of question. Let's put it that way. So for Tim Walz, of all people, for Tampon Tim, of all people, to come to Iowa and criticize a member of Congress for not having public meetings, when that same member of Congress put down his congressional briefcase and put on the uniform of a colonel in the Guard Reserve, it shows you how out of touch they are. No one knew that Tim Walz is not the best messenger to criticize someone who's on guard duty? That you don't criticize a member of Congress for not being in the district at dog and pony shows when you want them to be because he's, again, on maneuvers in case he has to help defend the country? Now, I only know about the congressman's schedule not because there was a big news release, not because he made a big deal about it at all. I only know about the congressman's whereabouts, and it wasn't a secret, but they didn't make a big deal about it. I only know about it because the congressman and I have a standing appointment on the third Wednesday of every month to do an interview for my radio audience throughout the state of Iowa and the Midwest. And as I emailed his staff to confirm that last week, they said, he's not available, we'll have to reschedule for next week. And that happens because of the legislative schedule, etc. And I said, fine, we'll reschedule. And then they said, he's on National Guard duty this week. Oh, okay, great. So the same week that out-of-towners come in to whip up a frenzy about no town hall meetings, he was upholding his oath to secure the nation. I had him on my radio program today. As a matter of fact, we spoke yesterday and it aired today because of the convenience of schedules. And he's got a whole bunch of public appearances this weekend that are all very much public. I believe the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture is coming to Iowa and they're going to do some travels. He does a public meeting in each one of his 21 counties every quarter, not every year. Not every half year, every quarter. So, Democrats, if you want to keep targeting people like that, you just go right ahead. While you're at it, have Jasmine Crockett be your spokesperson. Because the best way for Democrats to never win another election is for them to carry out what it appears to be their natural inclination, which is to make fun of first, learn the truth later, and then not apologize through their name-calling and their inability to actually put forth policy, which is what citizens expect. There's another stunt going around where Democrats are hosting town halls and inviting members of Congress. And then when the member of Congress says, I'm sorry, I have a scheduling conflict, you know, I schedule my appointments or whatever, then you put an empty chair in the place with their face on it. They did that in another congressional district near me, where they the Democrats called the town hall meeting and then said the member of Congress wouldn't appear. Voters see through that stunt. Maybe not the ones with the blue hair dye, but it doesn't matter. They're not going to be along anyway. But right-minded, rational people see through it. So Democrats, you want to keep doing the stunt? Have at it. Have at it all day and twice on Sunday. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, Liberty University Studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is the number. I'm told we have a caller from Iowa. That's like a local call for me. I'm sorry, I missed who it is. Who's calling in, please? Rich, how are you?
Rick. Yeah, I'm Rick. Doing great, Jeff. Good to hear you on the Todd Starnes Show. I listen to you at our local KXEL local news when you come on at 8 o'clock, so it's really nice. But what I was going to say is I heard you talk about military.
Yeah.
I joined the military in 78, and I'm an AMVET member.
Oh, bless you.
VFW member, American Legion member, and all of us, whether on right or left side of the aisle, we always serve the country in that we believe when we took that oath, defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That applies to me today, even though I've been out of the military since 98 when I retired. And I think that all of us military people, if something would happen in the United States or if we were ever called there, no matter what part of the aisle we're from, we would be right there supporting the active duty members or, you know, making sure that our country's safe. So I just wanted to let you know that. And
well, Rich, you know, Rich, I'm so glad. First of all, thank you for that service. Because again, as I point out, you put on the uniform so that I did not have to. Whereabouts in Iowa are you?
I'm in Fairbank.
Okay. Yep. That's just right down the road.
I know.
When you hear people take shots at, whether it's Congressman Nunn or whether it's the military of the day, does that just kind of get your dander up a little bit?
Just a little. They don't understand what we go through. I mean, I left my wife and kids alone for months on end, almost a year. When I transitioned from helicopters to fixed wings, mm-hmm. I was gone for 17 months. Because I went through my schooling and then I went over, deployed overseas to Sigonella, Sicily. So, you know, it's frustrating because they don't understand what we go through. It's not like going to the John Deere and having a job or going to a automotive place, you know, where they're a mechanic and they can come home every night. We're out there, trying to defend the country. Granted, we're seeing places that other people won't see, but we're the mindset of, okay, we're trying to keep the country safe, but we're trying to keep the world safe. We're trying to be an ambassador for the United States saying, hey, we love you as a human being. We care about your country. We want to see you grow as well as we do. And, you know, That's the way service members are, and if you go to any of the meetings, you know, AMVETS, American Legion, or VFW, or whatever they're with military, they'll probably say the same thing.
So, well, and on top of that, the folks who are serving today, huge sacrifice, right, for them and their families. But I dare say it was worse in your era, because now these folks can pick up a phone and FaceTime or whatever the fancy technology is with their families back home. You just had to leave, right? I mean, you didn't just pick up a phone out of your pocket and call back in 1979.
And I was involved with the rescue mission when the hostages were in Iran. I was on the Eisenhower.
Oh, my
God.
You know,
my family was biting their fingernails saying, you know, is my son safe? Mm. And I was over there doing escort duty from Straits of Hormuz to Kuwait City when the Ayatollah and his Iranians hit all the oil wells and was burning them up, you know. And gosh, you're out there sniffing all that crap, and you know, but I enjoyed it because I was serving my country. I was keeping my family free because I didn't want. I wanted to keep our life and our livelihood intact here in the United States. That's why I served.
And you enjoyed it. Well, you are a most articulate spokesperson for the movement, conveying the thoughts of yourself and your fellow veterans. Rich, I am so glad you called. Bless you for serving, and thanks so much for joining the program and elevating our discussion today. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Jeff, and hopefully we'll get Todd's darn show live instead of at 8 p.m. in the evening.
Oh, look at that.
I'm working at that time, and I can't hear the Todd's darn show, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, we'll just keep pushing along on all fronts. Thank you, sir, for calling in from Fairbank, Iowa, which, by the way, is the birthplace of the founder of this radio station, a fact that interests only me. Probably, as opposed to anyone else. 901-260-5926. This is what the left doesn't understand. What you just heard there. Here's a man who sacrificed for the nation and still has a belief in it today and supports what's going on today. That's what made this country great. That's what makes this country able to recover from the disaster of the last 4 years. It's people like Rich and the mindset that they have. That's patriotism. That is what it means to be an American. Not waving pro-Hamas signs in the street as a privileged individual who doesn't know what they're talking about. Well, I know that the congressman from Indiana, Marlon Stutzman, knows what he's talking about. You know, I've done this 45 years. I still can't get a segue right to save my life. They're so awkward. Back after this break on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. Final half hour of this Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. You know, I had this kind of cough and cold over the weekend, and I was just going to kind of stretch out in a chair and take a nap. And my wife said, well, just go to bed. Do it upright. And she didn't have to tell me twice. Not because I'm a slacker, but because we are a MyPillow household. And I knew I was going to get a good rest with that MyPillow and then the MyPillow sheets. Well, MyPillow is excited to announce they're extending the mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. And this is your chance to grab some incredible deals on some of the most popular and newly released items. Save $40 on the new spring MyPillow bed sheets, any size, any color. Maximum comfort, perfect for a great night's sleep. You can also... It's near Easter. How about a gift? 30% off on the brand new My Crosses, inspired by the one Mike has worn every day for more than 20 years. There's the 6-piece bath or kitchen towel set. How about $39.98? Now, these initial quantities are limited, so don't wait. And, oh, of course, the best-selling standard MyPillow is now just $17.98. Orders over $75 ship free, so go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS for the best discount or call 800 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506, MyPillow.com. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman Marlon Stutzman. Congressman Stutzman represents the 3rd Congressional District of Indiana. Congressman Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great this afternoon, Jeff. Great to be with you.
So you're a student of the Constitution. I mean, you serve in the government. You know the role of Congress as part of the legislative branch. We've got these checks and balances. How come the judicial branch seems to just be without any checks?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. And I think what's happened over time, we've seen the judiciary just become more and more powerful. That was never the intention of the founders. In fact, I like to tell the story whenever I do a Capitol tour, that the Supreme Court, their actual first chamber, or not the very first chamber, was actually in a tavern here in Washington City at the time. But one of the first chambers is actually in the basement towards the Senate side of the Capitol, and then they eventually got their ivory tower on the other side of the street. So, but I believe that, you know, the original intention was that you have three equal branches of government, but that the judiciary would never have the sort of power and legislating from the bench that we see today. And so, you know, I just did an interview with some folks over at TMZ and was telling them why, you know, President Trump is signing some of these executive orders, pushing out some of these law firms that are that have been completely against his agenda. And of course, they're criticizing President Trump for doing that. But, you know, when you see the lawfare that has happened and how law firms are working with courts where they have favorable judges to weaponize the justice system against a former president, now president, I believe there has to be a reset and a check on the judiciary that I support President Trump doing.
Well, once again, the Constitution says there is a Supreme Court. And as I read it in law school, it said that if you any other courts, as may be deemed necessary, inferior courts, that's the purview of Congress. And when Speaker Mike Johnson pointed that out, that Congress creates all these courts, I could just imagine Democrats' heads exploding all over Washington.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's been their favorite branch whenever they don't have the executive branch. Or the legislative branch, which that's the circumstances right now. So that's why I think we're seeing the liberal judges that they are running to help, you know, try to bail them out or protect their liberal policies that they've been able to enact over the last 4 years with the President Joe Biden and of course Obama. I mean, this goes all the way back to 2008 when President Barack Obama was in office. Think about the last 16 years, basically, and the movement of empowering two branches of government, both unelected, and that is the judiciary, and the fourth branch of government, that's the bureaucratic agencies. So much power is in those two wings of government that, and we don't even know who they are oftentimes. I mean, the fact that we have a judge I'd never even heard of before telling the President of the United States to turn planes around and bring them back to the United States that are full of criminals that are going to jail in El Salvador is beyond the pale. And so I think that we as Congress and the executive branch, it's time for us to make sure that there's a balance of power and that the judiciary isn't flexing more than what they should be and stay in their lane.
Congressman Marlon Stutzman of Indiana joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I told the audience this in the last hour, Congressman, but I had the privilege of somebody I think you served with, Congressman Louis Gohmert, on my local program this morning. And he has a piece out at Front Page Magazine, frontpagemag.com, where he points out that Article 3 of the Constitution does not say that these judges that we're talking about at these, quote, inferior levels, that's the term of art, it doesn't say that they hold their office unless they commit a high crime or misdemeanor, the standard for impeachment normally. They hold their offices during good behavior, is what it says. Is this good behavior for certain judges to always get a Trump lawsuit as opposed to a rotation, or to look like they're taking on the leader of the free world? I mean, it's a different standard, and certainly not some of these judges are not acting with good behavior, I would suggest.
No, I would agree. I mean, and just look at the injunctions nationwide that President Trump has had compared to the three previous presidents before him. You know, starting all the way back with George W. Bush, there were six. Barack Obama had 12. Biden had 14. And in Trump's first term, he had 64. And at this point, he's only been in office less than 3 months, and he has 15. You know, and maybe that's higher today because it seems like there's a new one every day. And so that should alone tell all of us that there is a bias towards President Trump, and that, you know, we kind of jokingly refer to it as Trump derangement syndrome, but boy, it's bleeding into the judiciary badly. I, you know, Jeff, I had the opportunity in around 2014, when I was serving in Congress, to have dinner with Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who is, of course, now passed, but one of my heroes at the Supreme Court. And it was just a very informal dinner that we had together, and we were talking about a variety of things. And there was two takeaways that I remember vividly that he said. He said, one, for this country to be strong again, there needed to be a spiritual renewal in the country. And then the second one was, don't fool yourselves that the judiciary isn't political. He's like, it is. He's like, they all like to go to the same cocktail dinners that the party that, you know, other politicians go to, and they like to hang out, and they are, you know, political as well. Maybe it's not running a campaign out, you know, for an election, but they definitely pay attention. So that always just stuck with me, and we see that. You know, President Trump has had to deal with lawfare. He's had to deal with these injunctions. He's had to deal with liberal judges that go way out of their way to try to stop him than what any conservative judge has ever did to Joe Biden.
And one of the really important things from what you just said, everyone knows you're a Republican, right? I mean, you run for elective office as a partisan. These judges, we think they're supposed to be apolitical, but as you said, they're creatures of cocktail party invitations as well, and that's more dangerous where we don't know from the outset where they stand. What can Congress do about it? What can the U.S. House do?
Well, you know, I think that's going to really come down to, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I do believe that Congress has to take action. You know, we are closest to the people, especially in the House of Representatives, where we're elected. We stand election every 2 years. And, you know, I am so thrilled to have Speaker Mike Johnson as the leader of the House, especially as a constitutional lawyer. And so he's going to be dialed into this. And, you know, Jim Jordan is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. But I do think there's going to be checks on the judiciary. I know Representative Daryl Issa has a bill that is being discussed quite a bit right now that would just do that. You know, and I know it's easy for us, and I even signed on to a bill that would impeach this judge for the injunction trying to stop the criminals from being taken down to El Salvador. Impeachment is just, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's not going to be an easy lift because we have to have 67 senators in the Senate. And so I think that there's definitely a group of people that are looking at, okay, what can we do that would rein in the judiciary? And so those conversations are taking place today, and we've been talking about them quite a bit this week. But I do think that the impeachment articles are important because we need to send a message back to the judiciary that we're paying attention. I mean, if we say nothing, they're going to continue. So we have to push back, even if it includes the threat of impeachment. But there are reforms that the court or that Congress can put in place, and I'm anxious to be a part of that for this recess.
Final couple of minutes with Indiana Congressman Marlon Stutzman on the Todd Starn Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You're a farmer. How much static do you get from your family that we're 2 years behind on a 5-year farm bill?
You know what, Jeff? we are farmers. I come from a farm family, but I've always been a free marketer. I've been a believer that we need strong trade agreements. We need to have less regulations on the economy, in the ag economy. What has happened with the farm bill, and this is why the farm bill struggles more and more, and I've told the ag industry and the community this every time. The farm bill used to be 80% focused on ag policy and about 20% on the food stamp program and other welfare programs. That has now flipped. And so 80% of the farm bill goes towards welfare programs, food stamp programs, as school lunch programs, and about 20% of the farm bill is actually focused on real agriculture. And I think that's why it's having a hard time passing, because it's basically been hijacked by big government leftists who believe that the name of the farm bill, it's really an umbrella or a shell for them to hide a bunch of more government programs behind what we all believe. And I know Americans support farmers very willingly. But I think that's why we have a problem with it. And it's never going to be easy to pass a farm bill until we start doing some welfare reforms and making sure that able-bodied people, before they get a welfare check, are being required to go back to work. We should have programs that encourage work rather than welfare. And I think that's where the farm bill is really struggling today.
Well, all of that is common sense, which apparently means it can't get done in Washington, but you folks have the right mindset, so, you know, with God's blessing, you'll get there. Congressman Stutzman, thanks so much for taking the time. I've enjoyed the conversation, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Congressman Marlon Stutzman, 3rd District, Indiana, joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Is our caller still there, or did that person drop? All right. If you have a chance, we had a caller who was going to call in who listens to the program on Patriot Talk in Texas, a veteran. And again, sorry we couldn't get to you right then. If you hurry and call back, I'll try to sneak in before the top of the hour. And thank you for your service, the caller who was a veteran. All right, 901-260-5926. That is the number that you would call to join us here in the Liberty University studio. We've got one more segment. We'll take care of business one last time on this Thursday after this short break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Breaking news as we finish the program on this Thursday. The White House has withdrawn the nomination of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. The president and Congresswoman Stefanik had a conversation, and because the margins are so small, if she were to take the UN position and resign, that was going to cause a numbers problem. And so to advance the president's agenda, Congresswoman Stefanik has decided to stay in the House. No word yet on who the new nominee to be ambassador to the United Nations will be, but the breaking news just released, Elise Stefanik, and this rumor had been floating this morning, Congresswoman Stefanik withdrawing her nomination to be ambassador to the UN on behalf of this country. Let's sneak in another phone call. Michael is listening to the program on Supertalk 93.1 in West Tennessee. Thanks for calling the program. Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Great. Yourself?
Oh, man, beautiful weather, beautiful sunshine. It's a great day to be an American.
It always is, sir.
Man, I was scrolling social media earlier and, you know, taking a little break on my lunch break, and I noticed a lot of people manipulated by the media. It's really shocking to see how easily people are brainwashed these days.
All right, give me a quick example, and then I got to tell people to do something for deserving people in Latin America.
Well, prime example, man. You know, I mean, they're going on. They're talking about Signal. They're talking about this. They're talking about that. Anything Trump does is wrong. They're twisting the facts and presenting it to the people. And I know several college-educated therapists that are falling for it, spewing the hate, calling any Trump supporter a Nazi and all kinds of stuff. I mean, how can you in your right mind believe those things and call those people things just because they support someone yet claim to love those very people?
Well, Michael, you bring up a good point. I appreciate you closing the program with that and listening to the program today. But that's the problem right now, is that we have an echo chamber and everybody just listens to what they believe in, and it's fomenting hate, and it's not the right thing to do. There's just no question about it. But that makes it incumbent on all of us to have reasonable conversations like we try to do here on the radio so that folks get good information. All right, now I didn't mean to cut him short, but I got to tell you one more time today, Food for the Poor. Go to ToddStarnes.com. There's a banner right at the top. Only 2 days left in this campaign. And again, folks, you've already generated thousands of dollars to help these boys and girls who were born into extreme poverty in Latin America. But we can bring it home really strong today and tomorrow. And as Paul Jacobs, a spokesperson for Food for the Poor, tells us, you don't have to worry that your money's going to be wasted.
Working with Food for the Poor means that you're working with a network of pastors and local ministries, partners that are vetted on the ground in El Salvador, that are making sure that they are doing the work. There's no government involvement in El Salvador that is going to basically get in the way of your compassionate giving and those children that are in need.
ToddStarnes.com, banner right at the top that says Feed Their Future. Click on it, and it's your opportunity to help these hungry boys and girls born into abject poverty. For example, a one-time gift of $100 provides life-altering nutrition for a child for a full year. ToddStarnes.com, right at the top, Feed Their Future, or 855-353-4673. Appreciate the opportunity. Mr. Starnes, get well soon. All of you have a tremendous Thursday. This is Jeff Stein on the Todd Starnes Show.